At the image of the two of us squeezed into a tiny bathroom stall, I let out a burbling, high-pitched laugh that made a guy with a mohawk give me an uneasy glance and move to another seat in the train car. But hadn't the queen already found me alone?
In Le Amu?
And in the catacombs? She hadn't killed me. She'd only called me Véronique.
Véronique, my dearest one, what are we to do?
Maybe she wasn't trying to kill me. Maybe I was exempt somehow. By the time I got back to the hotel, I was utterly at a loss. I had no idea where to turn, what to do. There was the possibility that Stephanie was crazy, that she had always been crazy, even before someone tried to kill her. Except, craziness didn't explain away my dreams, or the fact that Stephanie claimed to have been attacked by the very same ghost I'd been seeing all week. Come to think of it, I'd never even said I'd seen a ghost. Stephanie had brought that part up on her own. More proof that she was telling the truth. Back at the hotel, I went to the penthouse and inserted my key card. The room was empty and quiet. I took about 3 steps in, and the door closed behind me with a click that made me jump out of my skin.
Calm down, Colette.
There was a note on the coffee table in Peely's bubbly handwriting. Gone to pick up dresses, leaving for Versailles at 6:30. Hannah says be ready. Ready was underlined about 4 times. The note was signed with a letter P that had a happy face drawn in its loop. Versailles? Yeah, right. Maybe in about 1,000,000 years I'd set foot at Versailles again. Even if I had a dress, which I didn't. I couldn't think of anything on earth that would persuade me to step foot onto the grounds of what had once been the queen's home. But how would I get out of it? Hannah would be furious.
There's a psychopathic ghost stalking you. Why are you worried about Hannah?
What I needed to do was get out of Paris, get on a plane, and go home to Ohio, where the closest thing I'd ever seen to a ghost was Charlie in the Halloween costume he made by cutting eye holes in the expensive sheets, much to Dad's dismay. The only problem was, we were scheduled to fly out the following night. Mom would tell me to wait it out. After all, it was only one day. What could happen in one day? Logistically speaking, I might not even be able to get on a flight any faster than the one I was already booked on. It was okay. I would be fine. I didn't really believe the ghost was trying to kill me, because if that was what she wanted, she'd had her chance. And besides, I didn't have the mark on my arm. I'd checked 4 times on my way back from the hotel. There had to be some other explanation for why she was following me. Still, I was not going to go to Versailles. Hannah would just have to deal with it. I stepped into the bathroom to wash my hands. I was lost in thought, picturing Hannah's inevitable hissy fit and imagining what she'd say to me. I dried my hands and turned back toward the mirror. And then I froze. She was back, in the mirror, watching me. She wore a simple black dress, her hair in gray powdered ringlets. The woman from the postcard. La Duchesse. And this time, I knew exactly who she was.
Véronique,
I whispered. She gazed at me without answering.
What does she want?
I whispered again, taking a chance.
How do I stop her?
Her eyes turned to the floor for a long, thoughtful moment. Then she glanced up at me and spoke.
Ce n'est pas seulement le coup. Elle vous brise le cœur.
Oh, crud.
I don't really speak very much French, I said.
She repeated the phrase once more, and then her image melted away, leaving me staring open-mouthed at my own reflection. I ran out of the bathroom, trying to speak the words as she'd spoken them. I managed to jot the phrase down on a piece of paper, though I was sure I was getting it wrong.
All I had was questions. It was time to start finding answers. And that meant it was time to get help.
Audrey answered the door of room 304 on the first knock.
Oh, she said.
Hi.
Can we talk for a minute?
I asked. She nodded slowly. Behind her in the room, Bryn glanced up from the book she was reading.
Out in the hall, maybe? I added.
When we were alone, I took a deep breath. I'd worked out what I was going to say on the walk down there, and even if it wasn't the best plan, it was the only plan I had.
So, first of all, I'm really sorry about yesterday. I shouldn't have snapped at you. I was a little stressed out, and I...
You totally mean-girled me, she said.
But whatever.
I don't know what I expected. I guess I forgot you've been taking Hannah lessons for a year.
I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, I said. Jules and I had an argument, and I was pretty upset about it.
You couldn't have just said that?
She stuck her hands in her pockets.
So, are we done?
The reason I came here. I took a deep breath. I have an idea. You know how I said we weren't really friends? Well, what if we were friends?
She made a confused face.
If you come hang out with me for a while, maybe we can, like, bond. And then when we get back home, I'll totally be your friend. We're already going shopping, remember?
A smile spread across her lips, and instantly I felt relief. But she just laughed.
Colette, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Why would I want to hang out with someone who treats me like dirt, so I can make people think I'm cool?
She punctuated the word with air quotes and started to turn away, shaking her head.
I think spending so much time with Hannah has actually made you crazy.
Wait, I cried. Don't you wish you could improve your social status? This is your chance.
Her expression didn't change.
Not everyone is obsessed with what other people think about them.
Then she reached for the door, and I felt my options slipping away.
Audrey, please.
My voice caught. It was close enough to being a sob that Audrey turned back to look at me. The look on her face made it clear that she really did think I was nuts. Might as well go ahead and reinforce that.
I lied, I said. I wouldn't be doing it as a favor to you. It would be a favor for me.
If I come hang out with you?
Yes.
I thought about what Jules had said, about Audrey being a better friend than Hannah and Peely. Then I spat the truth out in one go.
I need your help with something, but it's weird.
Audrey took a moment before she replied.
Weird how?
Weird, like, really weird.
I shifted my weight from one foot to the other.
Weird, like, you're the only person in the world I can turn to.
She stared at me. Oh, forget it. I dropped my eyes to the floor. I didn't blame her.
All right, she said simply. Let me tell Bryn.
It was like a chorus of angels began to sing.
Seriously?
Yeah,
she said.
If you need help.
You have no idea, I said. You have no idea how much this means to me.
I almost said, I owe you one. The words made it all the way to the end of my tongue. But suddenly I knew that wasn't what Audrey would want to hear. It wasn't about owing and being owed. For the first time, that was really clear to me. So instead, I just said, thank you.
By the time we got back to the penthouse, I'd changed my mind.
The words I'd been planning to say sounded completely nuts. There was just no way Audrey would help me, even if I appealed to her charitable side. So what's up? She asked, after taking a second to look around the room. What's going on? I was searching for a way to tell her that I was sorry, that I was wrong, that I didn't need her help, when the events of the week snowballed and rolled right over me. I broke down crying.
Oh, no, Colette.
Audrey's dark eyes searched my face anxiously. What happened? Please tell me what's wrong. For a minute, I couldn't answer. She looked around a little awkwardly, and then she stopped in front of the coffee table and picked up the paper where I'd tried to record Veronique's words. What's this? She asked. She read over the words silently, then translated them out loud. It's not just your neck. She wants to break your heart? I sat up straight. Is that what that says? Well, kind of, she said. The spelling's pretty bad, but I think that's the general idea. What does it mean? It meant that the queen hadn't killed me when she had the chance because she was planning something else. Something worse. Audrey? I said her name to test my voice, and then I looked into her eyes. Do you believe in ghosts? Chapter 20. Audrey sat in the desk chair, staring at her hands. It sounds crazy, right? I said. She nodded. Yep. But I swear, it's all true. She still didn't look up at me. She seemed to be thinking things through, murmuring to herself. It can't be a coincidence, can it? The names? I mean, it's every family from the list. I didn't talk. I'd done plenty of talking, and now I needed to let her decide whether she believed me. If she believed me, I would have a powerful ally. If she didn't... Finally, she looked up at me. I don't believe in ghosts, she said. But I don't not believe in ghosts either, you know? I gave a tiny nod. I've never seen any evidence of that kind of thing, but I suppose it's possible. She looked right into my eyes. Swear to God, Colette, you're not just doing this as some sort of huge prank. My stomach was in my throat. I swear. What are you going to do about it? She asked. I guess that's the first question. You haven't mentioned it to Jules, have you? I shook my head. Well, maybe don't tell him about the ghost part. But we should ask him if he can find out anything else about the Order of the Key. He must have access to some restricted materials. Do you think he would? I asked. She raised one eyebrow. He's totally infatuated with you, Colette. I think you could ask him to steal you a puppy or something, and he would do it. I managed to laugh. But then I remembered the argument Jules and I had had the day before. Not exactly a puppy-stealing moment. You need to call him, she said. Right now. What could he possibly learn? I asked. He's a historian. Maybe he can dig up some clue that would show us how to stop her. Or why she's doing it. Doesn't it seem strange that she's killing the people who were supposedly her best friends? Anything he can find out about the Order could be helpful. So call him. Right now? But he has the afternoon off, I said lamely. Even better, she said. Call him. But what if he... Colette, she said. Call him. So I took the folded-up piece of paper with Jules' phone number on it out of my purse, sat down at the phone, and called him. There was no answer. I left a message asking him to call me at the hotel and hung up. So what now? I asked. We're leaving tomorrow, Audrey said. So the big question is, will the ghost follow you? Follow me home? I hadn't even thought about that. She wouldn't hurt my mother or my brother, would she? Audrey was silent.
She wants to break your heart.
I thought of Mom and Charlie, alone and vulnerable in that little apartment. I need to call them, I said. They could be in danger. Your mother's not in Iceland by birth, though, she said. It would be your dad, right?
That's right.
I could call my father. It was early, but he would want to be woken up when he heard he and Charlie and I could be in trouble. I dug out my calling card and dialed Dad's cell phone number. It seemed to take forever for the call to go through. Finally, it rang. And rang. And rang. And went to voicemail. Dad, it's me. Please call me at the hotel in France. It's important. I hung up. Then I dialed again. This time, it rang twice, and then someone picked up.
Hello?
Dad? My father's voice was raspy and tired.
Colette? What time is it? I thought you were in France.
I am, I said. Listen, I'm sorry to wake you up, but this is important. There's something really weird going on and—
Have you called your mother about it?
He asked. No, I said. I wanted to talk to you first.
Look, sweetie, I'm really busy these days, and I think you should try your mom first.
It was like getting slapped in the face. But, Dad...
I'm sure your mom can handle whatever it is you need. I'm just a little overbooked, you know? I'm flying out today for a job interview in San Diego, and...
San Diego? What about New York? He was silent. I thought we were going to New York this summer.
Well, honey, it's not going to happen. You know that was never set in stone.
Never set in stone? My father had taken me out to dinner and asked me how I'd like to spend the summer in Manhattan with him. He told me he would find a short-term lease on the Upper West Side, and I could get a part-time job and we would go see Broadway shows on the weekends. I didn't answer. Dad went on.
Anyway, Estelle found this opportunity for me in California, and we're thinking...
Who's Estelle?
She's the...
I heard a murmur in the background, a female voice.
She's my girlfriend, Colette.
Oh. Suddenly, I felt exhausted.
I just think maybe it would be better if you stayed in Toledo this summer. Maybe you can come see me in San Diego after graduation.
That was more than a year away. All right, Dad, I said.
You understand, right? I'll owe you one.
My heart sank. Sure. He hung up. I sat with the receiver in my hand until Audrey came and placed it back in the cradle.
You'll use all your calling card minutes, she said softly. He didn't even ask how I was, I said. I could have been dying, and he wouldn't have even known.
She sat on the edge of the sofa.
I'm sorry.
And I was supposed to go to New York for the summer. I've told everyone. I'm gonna look so stupid.
No one is going to care, she said. No one who matters, anyway.
Hannah would care. Then it hit me. All the members of the Order were shallow jerks, and my dad was a shallow jerk. And as long as we're being real here, I was a shallow jerk, too.
Did you try, let's see, saying a prayer? Audrey offered.
She sat at the desk with a laptop we'd borrowed from Bryn. She was reading from ghost websites.
Or telling the ghost that her presence isn't welcome?
I don't think so. I guess I might have said go away. Is that what you're supposed to do? I was lying on the sofa with my feet on the armrest. I was too busy peeing my pants. Audrey looked back at the screen.
It's what a bunch of people on this website are saying.
and the internet is never wrong, I said. Especially about ghosts. She sighed and sat back. Okay, next website. We'd been searching for information on ghosts for an hour. Unfortunately, most of it was obviously made up by people who had no idea what they were talking about. I glanced at the clock. It was 4. Hannah and Pilar would be getting back from the rental shop with their gowns soon and starting to get ready. And I would have to come up with a good reason for not going. What about apologizing? Audrey asked. For what? I don't know, she said. I mean, she was beheaded. That has to be stressful. But those families were her friends. Audrey turned around. Why weren't any of them tried or executed during the revolution? I don't know, I said. Maybe they got lucky. Or they didn't. What if... She was interrupted by a sharp knock at the door. We glanced at each other. Ghosts don't knock, right? She asked. I got up and went to open it. Jules was outside.
Let me in before someone sees me, he said. I'm not supposed to come into your room.
I let him pass and shut the door behind him. What are you doing here? I tried to call you.
You did?
He pulled out his phone and looked at the screen.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I didn't get your message. I was in the archives at the university library, and reception there is very poor.
I'd never seen him like this. He was agitated, pacing back and forth, clutching a notebook tightly in his hand. What's going on? I asked. He turned to me so quickly that it startled me.
Don't think I'm crazy, he said. But I think you may be in danger.
Oh, yeah, that, I said. He blinked. What did you find, Jules? Audrey asked. He looked at her, and then back at me. Then he seemed to collect himself and opened his notebook.
I remember that you had asked me about someone named Veronique, and I had a feeling it was related to your family. So I went into the rare book section and looked up Veronique Isselin, just to see if something would turn up. I found a group called L'Ordre de la Clé. Initially, the group was formed to support the monarchy, especially the Queen.
In eternal service of Her Majesty, the Queen, I said.
Oui, exactly, he said. How'd you know this?
I've been doing some research of my own, I said. What else did you find?
6 families took a blood oath with one another to look after the interests of Marie Antoinette and her family.
A blood oath? I exchanged glances with Audrey.
And then, when the revolution came, they swore to help the king and queen escape. They coordinated efforts to get the royal family out of France. After the first effort failed and the family returned to Versailles, the order stayed close by to protect her.
So she was paying them back by killing them off? Nice.
There were even rumors that they built a secret room where the royal family could hide until their allies came to rescue them, should they ever find themselves in danger.
Like a panic room? Audrey said. Jules nodded. Then he looked at me.
But as I researched the order, I realized the last names. They are the same as the people being murdered now. Roux, Janvier, Dubois, Beauclair.
Yes, I know, I said. And Iceland is one of the names.
Yes, he said.
Then he stared at me.
And that is why I believe you are in danger. But then I asked myself, why would someone kill the members of a secret society from 200 years ago?
Not just any someone. the ghost of the woman they swore to protect. And I found the answer in the very last chapter of a book written by royalists in the 1830s. The author of the key was established to serve the queen, but in the end, they betrayed her. I gasped. They did? Every single family, he said. And they did it to save themselves. Just thinking about it made my neck hurt. It was an elaborate plan, he said. They made a deal with the Jacobins, the revolutionaries, who promised the family safe passage out of the country in exchange for making sure the king and queen did not leave Versailles until they could be taken prisoner. I stared at the rug, feeling sick to my stomach. So the queen was taking her revenge. And since the original members of the order were long dead, she was taking her rage out on the next best thing. Their descendants. What about Véronique? I asked. He set the notebook down. Véronique Isolant was the Duchesse du Broya. She was the queen's most trusted and beloved friend. Her betrayal was the worst of them all. The room was quiet for a long moment, except the rustling of pages as Jules looked back over his notes. And I am worried because she's the only one left, he said. I stared at him, not understanding. A member of every other family has been attacked. You, Véronique's descendant, are the only one left. So whoever's doing this may be coming after you. He gathered his notebook. We need to go to the police. I almost went directly there, but I decided to stop here first, to make sure you are safe. The police can't help, I said. Jules furrowed his brow. Of course they can help. They really can't, Audrey said. I don't understand why you would say such a thing, Jules said. I flopped backward on the bed, my arm over my eyes. I guess I just make sure never to be alone again in my whole life. Actually, Audrey spoke up from the desk. It may not be that bad. I peered at her through the crook of my elbow. Look, she said, pulling up a map of Paris on screen. I marked the location of each murder. There was a series of little pin graphics that formed a path from Versailles right to the center of the city. It's pretty consistent, she said. I'm not sure what it means, but it seems like there's a pattern, and the pattern doesn't include Toledo, Ohio. Wait, Jules said, leaning down to look at it. This is the path the royal family took from Versailles to the prison. So every victim happened to be along the route? I said. Isn't that a little... Is it weirder than the fact that there's an evil ghost killing people? Audrey asked. And look, here's our hotel. So you're on the route too. She double-clicked, and one last pin fell into place on the map. Maybe you're all drawn to this route, she said. It was a blood oath, after all. Maybe it's in your blood. Maybe so. We were quiet. Jules cleared his throat. Excuse me, he said. Did you say a ghost? We both turned to him. I glanced at Audrey, who shrugged. Yes, I said. A ghost. He looked like a chicken who just realized he was hanging out in a fox den. I don't understand. Whose ghost? I sighed. Marie Antoinette's. I've been seeing her all week. Ah. He fidgeted for a moment, glancing at the door. I half expected him to run for it, Then he wandered away to stare out the window. Audrey's eyes, full of sympathy, met mine, and I knew we were both thinking the same thing. This was the end of my beautiful Paris romance.
Well, Audrey said, the good news is, maybe you just need to make sure you're not alone between now and tomorrow,
And then never come back to Paris again. Ever. A sudden sense of loss settled over me. Still, it beat dying.
Maybe we should spend the rest of the night looking up other people who might be in danger and calling them, Audrey said.
Who would believe us? I asked.
Jules doesn't.
He looked at me.
I didn't say that.
But you don't. It's obvious. You think I have terrible taste in friends and really awful judgment, and now you think I'm a total idiot for believing in ghosts.
I don't think that, he said. I believe in ghosts.
Oh. You do?
Yes, he said. We have one in our apartment building. We call him Henri. But I don't think he's ever tried to hurt anyone.
There was a moment when none of us said anything, and that was when the door to the room opened.
Honey, we're home, Hannah called.
She rounded the corner and stopped short.
Hi,
I said. Hannah was dragging her enormous dress behind her. She draped it over a chair and looked from Jules to Audrey and then to me.
Having a party?
I tried to smile. There was something in her eyes that was dangerous. Her gaze poked into me like pinpricks.
Colette, are you...
Pilar followed Hannah in, also carrying her dress.
Oh. So, Hannah said. I guess maybe you've hidden your ball gown somewhere around here, right?
Hannah, I began, but she cut me off.
I knew you wouldn't get one, she said. I don't know how I knew, but I knew you'd let me down.
I'm sorry, I said.
You're not sorry. If you cared enough to be sorry, you would have tried harder in the first place.
Hannah gave Audrey and Jules a once-over.
You've chosen your friends, I guess. Pilar, let's go into my room and get ready. Thank God we only have one more night here.
Pilar gave me a stricken look, but followed Hannah. I heard her say in a low voice,
Can't she just wear a regular dress?
The door slammed behind them before we could hear Hannah's response, but I had a pretty fair idea what it was. They came out of the room a few minutes after 6, both looking incredible in their ball gowns, with elbow-length gloves and beautiful necklaces, and their hair piled up on their heads. But they didn't stop for our admiration. They sailed through the room, Pilar complaining that her gloves were itchy, and Hannah fiercely shushing her and pulling the door closed behind them. The air in the room settled in their wake.
So, what should we do tonight? Audrey asked, picking up a purple feather that had fallen out of Pilar's little hat. It's our last night in Paris.
I glanced at Jules to see if the word seemed to have any effect on him. He was staring at the floor, looking like I felt. Deflated. Defeated. Dejected. All the depressing D words. At least you're not dead.
I don't know, I said.
It seemed wrong to go around and act as if everything was fine when I knew it wasn't fine. But I couldn't stand the thought of leaving the city without, I don't know, saying goodbye. Not to mention that sitting around the hotel room would just remind me that my two roommates might never speak to me again.
We could go walk around a little, she suggested. Jules, wanna come?
He shrugged. I didn't take it personally. It was hard to focus under the pall of a murderous ghost. There was a knock at the door. Audrey ran to check the peephole.
It's just Bryn, she said, pulling it open. Hey, Bryn said. She came in and looked around, letting out a low whistle.
Wow, nice room.
What's up? Audrey asked.
Sorry to interrupt, she said. But you have to see this. Hannah and Pilar came down to the lobby in their dresses, and it was insane. They actually attracted a crowd of tourists in the street when they were getting into their car. Then Hannah tripped and almost ate it on the cobblestone. Thank God she didn't see that I had my camera. But I totally got a picture.
She held it up, but none of us seemed particularly interested.
Sorry, Audrey said. We're a little distracted. Trying to figure something out.
Bryn looked a little hurt, so I reached for the camera to scroll through the pictures. Yep, Hannah and Peely looking exactly how they'd looked when they walked out on me. Except, at some point between our room and the lobby, Pilar had taken off her uncomfortable gloves. Hey, Bryn, I said. Can I zoom in on this picture? She showed me how, and I zoomed all the way in.
This isn't the good one. What are you looking at? She asked, studying the image.
Nothing she'd be able to see. But suddenly, Veronique's meaning was crystal clear. She wants to break your heart.
Thanks, Bryn, I said.
My whole body thrummed with tension as she took the camera back, and then seemed to get that we were in the middle of something. She said an awkward goodbye and left.
What did that mean? Audrey asked. What was in that photo?
I have to go to Versailles, I said.
What?
Audrey sat up straight.
What are you talking about?
I took a deep breath. It's not enough just to kill me. The queen is going to make my punishment the worst one yet.
How do you know this? Jules asked.
I knew because I'd seen Pilar's forearm in Bryn's photograph, and there was a dark key-shaped smudge on it. The queen's mark, the one she reserved for the people she planned to kill. She's not just after my neck. She wants to break my heart. I began to shake. She's going to try to murder Pilar at the party tonight.
Can't you stop them from going there? Jules asked.
I can try, I said. I got out my calling card and tried Hannah's and Peely's phones. They both went straight to voicemail.
We could try calling the security office, Audrey suggested.
No, I said. That won't work. Hannah wouldn't listen, and Pilar will do whatever Hannah tells her to. I have to go after them.
Now, hold on, Audrey said. Putting yourself in danger can't be the answer.
I thought of Pilar, cornered by an evil ghost in some dark, scary room. It was like picturing a kitten being cornered by a wolf.
I have to go.
I saw in her eyes that Audrey understood.
They must be halfway there by now, Jules said. And how will you get through security?
Audrey leaned forward.
Were there tickets? Actual, physical tickets?
I don't think so. Hannah said we were on the list. Audrey nodded.
Right. So she's just counting on the fact that you're not going. She's not going to go to the trouble to get you taken off the list.
Jules looked unconvinced.
Is there enough time?
I have to try, at least, I said. Besides, it might take the ghost a while to get Pilar alone.
You don't have a dress.
Audrey's face fell. I turned to look at Jules, who had already pulled his phone out and dialed.
Mathilde, he said.
Then he spoke in French, his voice hushed and urgent. She asked him questions, which he answered, and then he asked her questions. They seemed to agree on something, and then he hung up. Audrey and I waited breathlessly.
Well, he said, luckily, the boy who has the key to the storage room is in love with her.
She can call him and have him meet her there.
How fast? Audrey asked.
Right now. She will be here in 20 minutes.
All right. Audrey stood up. Colette, do you need to do your hair or put on your eyeshadow or whatever? Sorry, I don't know much about that stuff.
With all the adrenaline rushing through my body, I wasn't sure I could actually manage to put on eye makeup without accidentally stabbing myself in the eye with a mascara wand. But I grabbed my makeup bag and went to the mirror over the dresser. Audrey came over to me.
You don't have to do anything crazy, right? Just keep Pilar from going off by herself?
I nodded.
Right. And don't you go off by yourself either. And don't get arrested or anything. If they try to make you leave, then just leave.
I paused mid-mascara stroke and looked at her. Without Pilar?
You can't exactly save her if you get beheaded, can you?
Good point. A few minutes later, there was a knock at the door, and when Jules pulled it open, Mathilde came in, dragging a gown.
You out,
she said to her brother. Then she looked at Audrey.
You stay. We will need your help.
Jules backed out of the room, and Mathilde revealed the gown with a flourish. Audrey gasped.
That's the most beautiful dress I've ever seen.
It was dark gray silk, but the color was more than just a color. It had richness and depth, like it was made of shadows. It had a low, square-cut neckline, and the bodice was embroidered with silver thread in a delicate vine pattern. It fit my rib cage severely down to the waist, and then hung to the floor in long, gathered vertical sections of fabric. The sleeves were elbow length and fitted. When they finally got me buttoned into the dress, Mathilde helped me finish my makeup and teased my hair into a voluminous puff that surrounded my head like a halo. I handed her my hairspray, and she used nearly the whole can. Mathilde stepped back.
Magnifique, she said.
Audrey was wide-eyed.
You look like a queen.
I tried to smile as she examined me from head to toe. Then I turned and saw myself in the full-length mirror on the bathroom door. For a split second, I thought I was looking at Veronique again, and then I realized, this time, it was just me. I really did look like a queen, or a duchess. At any other point in my life, I would have been thrilled to wear such a gorgeous dress, like a real, honest-to-goodness member of the nobility. But now it just reminded me of what I was and what my ancestor had done, and the terrible consequences her actions had brought about. Mathilde went to the door and opened it.
She's done.
Jules came in and stopped short. My heart leapt to my throat as I stepped closer to him. He stared at me, almost in wonderment.
I feel like I should bow to you, he said softly.
If I live to be 100, or any age past 16, I'd never forget how it felt to have a boy look at me that way, like I was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. Audrey tapped me on the shoulder.
This is great, but you guys need to get going. Jules, how far is your car?
Very close, he said.
Bon,
Mathilde said.
Let's go.
Wait, I said. One last thing. I reached for the medallion and slipped it around my neck. Audrey cringed a little.
Are you totally sure you want to wear that?
Yes, I said. I wanted the queen to know I was there. Chapter 21. The palace was lit up like something from a fairy tale, with spotlights illuminating the gold accents on the edges of the roof. The front gates were open, and Jules slowed the car and rolled down the window to talk to a security guard holding a clipboard.
Colette Iselin, Jules said.
The man scanned the list, then shook his head. Maybe it's under Nordstedt, I said, and Jules translated. The guard flipped the page and nodded. He handed Jules a piece of paper and waved us through. We were in a line of cars, slowly creeping toward a long red carpet set up between a set of velvet ropes. Partygoers emerged from the cars ahead. Most of them were dressed up almost as elaborately as I was. The women in ginormous dresses and elaborate hairpieces and hats, the men in frock coats and even bigger hats. Watching them, I got chills. It was easy to imagine ourselves in some parallel universe, where people came to parties at marvelous palaces. I supposed, in a way, that's how Hannah's life was shaping up to be. With as much money and as many connections as she had, she could look forward to a lifetime of being handed out of limousines and sashaying down long red carpets, while admirers looked on as she passed them by without so much as a careless glance. Whereas this was probably a once-in-a-lifetime event for me. Might as well make the most of it. Jules parked, then came around and opened the door for me. He reached for my hand and helped me climb out of the little car. The piece of paper the guard had given him was my ticket. He pressed it into my hand.
I think we are in time, he said. Anyway, it certainly doesn't seem like there's been a murder yet.
Yet. The word chilled me. I'd better go, I said. We stared at each other for a minute.
I will park nearby, he said. As soon as you have a chance, call me. Mathilde put her phone in your purse. Just hold down number one and it will dial me.
Merci, I said. There was a little quiver in my voice.
Be safe, Colette. Please.
I nodded, but I felt like speaking would give away how freaked out I was, to him and to me. He hadn't let go of my hand. He raised it to his mouth and kissed it lightly. I gave him a small smile and pulled away. I have to go. My head held high, I walked toward the entrance. A security guard took my ticket and let me pass through a set of massive double doors. After that, it was a straight shot down the red carpet all the way to the Hall of Mirrors. At the entrance to the hall, I stood in silence, looking around.
It's so beautiful,
the girl next to me whispered to her date. Beautiful didn't even begin to describe it. Without crowds of tourists, the room looked like it must have looked 300 years ago. Gorgeous, elegant, and transcendent. The light from the chandeliers made the golden walls glow, and outside the windows, the last purple clouds of twilight were fading to indigo. There were no party decorations. They weren't necessary. As my eyes swept the room, I had the odd feeling of not being completely sure where, or when, I was. Girls grouped together in giggling clumps, whispering and gossiping, leaning back and forth in a way that made their skirts swing flirtatiously. It could have been the year 1785. Enough looking around. I had to find Hannah and Pilar. Voices hushed slightly as I made my way through the crowd, and I knew I looked like a duchess. Somehow, Versailles was a part of me, and I was a part of it. Being there suddenly felt as natural as being in my own living room. I scanned the room as I went, hoping to catch a glimpse of Hannah's pale green dress or Peely's mauvey purple one. The room wasn't stuffed with people, but there were enough guests that I had a few false alarms, glimpses of similar gowns being worn by other women. Maybe I was too late. Maybe the ghost had already gotten Pilar alone and... No, I couldn't let myself think that way. I paused to take a glass of water from one of the refreshments tables, and when I turned around, I caught sight of Hannah and Pilar across the room, Peely waved to me excitedly, her eyes wide with disbelief. Then she pointed to herself, mouthed something I couldn't begin to understand, and turned away.
"No, wait!" I called.
I rushed over to where she'd been standing, but she was gone.
"What are you doing here?"
The icy voice coming from behind me was Hannah's.
"I uninvited you. And where did you get that dress?"
I turned around, looking over her shoulder.
"Where's Peely?"
Hannah's face darkened. "She went off with some French guy. She saw a fancy piano and just about lost her mind. So he offered to let her touch it or something. You know how dumb she gets about that stuff."
"But where did she go?" I asked.
Hannah drew back.
"Why are you acting insane? I'm totally going to tell them that you're not allowed to be here." "Hannah!"
I grabbed her roughly by the sleeve.
"Are you not listening to me? This is important. It's literally life and death."
She jerked away and leveled a death glare at me.
"You have no idea what's important, Colette."
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"Oh, just a little concept called the truth. Ever think about trying it?"
Her lips curled into a sneer.
The truth? Did she mean about the ghost? Or about everything else?
"Colette, I can't believe you came. You look miraculous."
Pilar had come back. I turned to her, so relieved I couldn't speak. She was gaping at my dress. Then she glanced up and saw Hannah's face, and her happy smile faltered.
"Oh, this is good," Hannah said. "I'm glad we can do this together."
"Do what together?" Peely asked.
"Hannah, don't," I said. "I'll go. I just came to talk to Pilar for a minute, then I'll leave." "No, Colette, stay."
Hannah gave me a snide, narrow-eyed smile.
"I think a costume party is the perfect place to expose someone as a giant liar."
"Peely, can you just come with me for a second?" I asked. I took hold of her arm and turned it over. There it was, the dark smudge of the key symbol.
"What's wrong? What are you looking at?"
Clearly, Pilar couldn't see the mark. She gingerly pulled her arm away and glanced at Hannah as if she were asking for permission.
"Who's a liar?"
"Our dear friend Colette," Hannah said. Then she turned to me. "I know everything. I know that your dad left your mom. I know your mom works at the mall. I know you're on scholarship and you just moved to some crappy apartment. And hello, all of your supposedly vintage clothes. Most of them are from, like, Sears."
I stared at her. I'd had nightmares about a moment like this. Except even my worst nightmares weren't even close to being as painful and embarrassing as reality. I'd always worried that Hannah would treat me with disdain if she learned the truth. But the expression in her eyes went way past disdain. It was hatred.
"I've known all of this since like 3 months ago," she said. "I've just been wondering if you were ever going to stop lying about it. You know, since we're your friends."
Pilar turned to me, open-mouthed.
"You're on scholarship?"
"I was going to tell you," I said, "but I was waiting for the right moment." "You've been lying to our faces," Hannah said, "for almost a year. And then you lied about Armand."
I opened my mouth to defend myself. But the thing is, she hadn't accused me of being poor or of having a mom who worked in the mall. She'd only accused me of lying. And she was right about that. I'd been lying to them for almost a year. My face flushed as I turned away. And then I saw her in one of the mirrors. The ghost. There was no mistaking the queen, though once I'd caught sight of her, All of the costumed women in the room seemed to be involved in some elaborately choreographed dance to keep me from being able to see her again. I'd swing my head and catch a hint of her reflection out of the corner of my eye, and then find myself looking at just another partygoer. I turned to Pilar.
Peely, don't go anywhere by yourself tonight, okay? Promise?
What's wrong with you?
Pilar, don't promise her anything.
Hannah glared at me.
You're over, Colette. You're completely cut off, especially after tonight.
I let my glance travel across the room as I searched for the white plumes of the queen's headpiece, and I said,
I don't care.
Excuse me? Hannah said.
You're excused, Hannah, I said. And I don't care if you cut me off. You're a terrible friend. Actually, you're a terrible person.
You're both being crazy, Peely said. She looked as if she might cry.
I thought tonight was supposed to be special.
Oh, grow up, Hannah said. Don't talk to her like that, I snapped, like she's a little kid.
Hannah took a half step forward.
Don't you ever try to tell me what to do.
I really didn't have time for this, but I stood my ground.
Hannah, I promise you that from this day on, I'm going to say exactly what I want to say to you at the exact moment when I want to say it.
I stopped and looked around.
Where's Pilar?
Hannah screwed up her face in an angry scowl.
What?
I grabbed both of her arms.
Where did she go?
Hannah shook me off.
How should I know?
I ran away, darting through the crowd, searching for Peely and, at the same time, trying to keep an eye out for the ghost. Every time I saw the queen reflected in a mirror, I would turn and see a living, breathing human standing where she ought to have been. She was playing with me, taunting me. I made my way down the entire length of the hall that way, turning my head back and forth, frantically spinning to try to catch another glimpse of the ghost. I got all the way to the end of the Hall of Mirrors. Peely was gone. Chapter 22. I stood looking helplessly past the velvet rope that led into the next room.